Hello and welcome in Jesus' name. My name is John Kester. You are listening to a recorded sermon of the Spirit of Hosea Fellowship. I pray that you will be blessed and encouraged as we share the Word of God together. This fellowship is an outreach of Theological Foundations Ministries. We invite you to visit our website at www.theologicalfoundations.com. and www.marriagedivorce.com. There you will find a wealth of messages, material, and online teachings, and books which you can download, copy, and burn to a CD, and distribute to your friends, family, freely without charge or obligation. To partner with us, please go to www.theologicalfoundations.com and click on the links for How Can I Help? Now, let's get out our Bibles as we follow along with today's message. Here is the chaplain of the Spirit of Hosea Fellowship, Stephen Wilcox.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, you said that if we come to you in prayer, that you will hear us and that our prayers will make a difference. We ask, Lord, for you to do this for all that are listening, Lord, because we all have needs. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of what I would like to talk to you about today is called Prayer Changes Things. And before we go any farther, let's go to the Word of God. And I'm going to have you look up, please, Matthew chapter 11. And we're just going to read for now three verses, Matthew 11, 28 to 30. I'm going to read from the New American Standard. I'm going to go ahead. Jesus had said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Brothers and sisters, all you that are listening to me, whether you really know him or whether you want to know him, whether you are on a mountaintop or whether you are in a valley, no matter what circumstances you are facing, if you can hear my voice, you're alive and you're this side of the eternity to come. Many of you are going through the trials of your life. Some of you are desperately sick, desperately ill, in extreme pain. Some of you are in circumstances that most of us could not possibly believe that we could live through. Some of you have been abandoned by those that you have loved and have loved you in the past. Some of you are hungry. Some of you are hurting to such an extent that we couldn't even possibly understand it, no matter how you told us. Some of you are blessed materially and financially and physically. Some of you are weary. Some of you are strong. All of you are at different stages in your life. Like the book of Ecclesiastes says, there's a time for everything. There's a time to live. There's a time to die. There's a time when things are going well for you, and there's times when they go well for everybody. And there are times when you are going through nothing but sorrow and pain. Whatever you are going through, God has not made you and created you and left you here just to operate in a vacuum and to have whatever happens to you, and there's nothing that anyone or anything can do about it. God is your creator. The scriptures say, "Woe is the man that picks a fight with his creator." Your creator has made you to be in relationship with him, and he has provided a direct link between you and him. All you have to do is you have to go to Jesus Christ, and he is the door to God the Father. In the book of Matthew, chapter 6, in verse 6, Jesus said, "But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." What Jesus is saying is that no religious, hypocritical prayers are going to work. If you're in a vast assembly, you're in an auditorium perhaps, or perhaps you are in a parliament, or you are, and where I first probably heard this in public was in Sunday school, when everybody just automatically from their memory goes, to "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," etc., etc. Those aren't sincere prayers. We're talking about a prayer from you to your creator, from your broken heart, from your needy soul to a loving and a listening God. He will not honor a prayer that does not honor him. He will not honor a prayer that asks and glorifies disobedience to him. He will honor all prayers that are brokenhearted and seeking genuinely and sincerely the help of God. And that is best done in private. So what did Jesus actually say? Again, to the book of Matthew. Please turn to chapter 7. We're going to go from verse 7 to verse 14. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. Or what man is there among you when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? For if he asks for a fish, he will give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know what to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those that ask him? In everything, therefore, treat people the same way that you want them to treat you. For this is the law and the prophets. I just want to stop for a moment. Brothers and sisters, verse 8 says, everyone, for everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. That doesn't mean that he is a piggy bank that you can break and that you can get into and there is money to squander upon yourself. It isn't an automatic door behind a curtain where you can go in there and all the prizes to reward your flesh are just there for the taking and for the asking. What he is saying, that if your heart is right before God and you go to God and you have legitimate needs, you go to God, you have legitimate hurts and you need to have his power or you need to have release or you need to have a miracle worked on your behalf or you need to have the strength to walk through some things that he has put in your path in order to teach you a lesson, that he will give you that power or that relief and he will enable you to get through it and to provide for you. He said that in verse 13 in Matthew 7. It goes on to say, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few that find it. And in this context, we're talking about prayer. I got to explain something. People seek relief for what is wrong in their life. Jeremiah chapter 17. Verses 5 to 6 says, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength and whose heart runs away from the Lord. For he will be like a bush in the desert and will not see when prosperity comes, but will live in stony wastes in the wilderness, a land of salt without habitation. If you are going to pray, you pray to the Lord your God, and you pray with the heart that puts you into communication with God. If you don't know Jesus Christ, if Jesus Christ is not the love and the Lord of your life, where you know him and you serve him and you obey him and you love him with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, and all of your strength, you do not have a telephone to him. It doesn't matter what you pray for. He is not a sugar daddy. He is not a catalog service of the things that you would wish for and the things that you would need. You must know him. But if you know him, you have access to him. Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8, just the next two verses, does the other side of the equation. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord, for he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream and will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaves will be green and it will not be anxious for a year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit. Jesus said, all you that are heavy laden, come to me, come to me, come to me. And if you know him and you are heavy laden, come to him. The psalmist wrote in chapter 32, David was talking about him and his life. We're going to read from, I think, all of 32, verses 1 to 11. I'm going to stop from time to time just to point out, which is probably the obvious. If you're hearing this on CD, I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and I'll look this up and read along with. It's extremely important. It says it all. Psalm 32. How blessed is he whose transgressions is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity and in whose spirit there is no deceit. Just going to stop for a moment. David is not talking about a man that is continuing in his sin here. He is not speaking as a man that is continuing in sin. He is speaking as a man that is broken and that has repented from his sin and confessed his sin and is standing in God's righteousness because of the blood that was shed on the cross by Jesus Christ to come. Verse 3, when I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away, though my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was drained away as with the fever heat of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you at a time when you may be found. Surely, in a flood of great waters will not reach him. You are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with songs of deliverance. Well, stop for just a moment. No matter what your need, no matter what your situation, if you will walk away from the sin, if you will give the burden to the Lord, and if you go to him now, sincerely, with all of your heart, you don't need any more theory. You don't have to read any more books. You don't have to listen to any more sermons for the moment. If you will turn from your sin, or to take your problem and your burden and give it to the Lord and go to your knees and just give it to him, and be willing to follow his directions, your answer to your prayer will take place. And that prayer will change things, because sincere prayer of somebody that is open to serving God and is serving them with all their heart, God answers those prayers, and he will answer yours. Repeat verse 7, you are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Do not be as the horse or as the mule, which has no understanding, whose trappings include bit and bridle to hold them in check. Otherwise they will not come near to you. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, loving kindness shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous ones, and shout for joy, all you that are upright in your heart. Answers to prayer are therefore conditional. They are conditional upon you confessing your sins, forsaking your sins, and following what the Lord has to tell you. That's so easy to do. It starts with you falling to your knees and you being humble and broken before the Lord Jesus Christ. In Christian circles, there's a verse that I believe is often misquoted. As we know from the Old Testament times, Israel, the promises of Israel, many of them that are not nation-specific, are given to us personally. And I believe this is one of them. Please turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, just verse 14. My people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Brothers and sisters, if you are called by his name, no matter what you are carrying right now, if you will humble yourself and pray and seek his face and turn from your wicked ways, he will hear. Today, right now, he will hear from heaven and will forgive your sin and will heal your life. He will. In closing, please turn with me to the book of Psalm, chapter 4, verse 3. One single verse. But know that the Lord has set apart the godly man for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. God has set you apart, and he will hear you when you call to him. Call to him now. Let's put this all on the line as we speak. We know the theory. Now let's do the fact. Please close your eyes and pray with me. Dear Jesus, you know what I am going through. You know what I need. Heavenly Father, I submit to your will. Instruct me and I will follow you. I am sorry for my sin. Please help me now. Meet my need. Forgive my sin and heal my heart. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
We pray that you've been blessed and encouraged by the Word of God today shared by our fellowship. We invite you to visit www.theologicalfoundations.com and www.marriagedivorce.com to listen to other Spirit of Hosea sermons and to have free access to a wealth of teaching and materials from various pastors, teachers, and authors in the body of Christ. This ministry is maintained entirely by your ongoing prayers and generous financial support. We thank you for listening and trust that you will draw closer to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is John Kester saying goodbye for now, and may God bless you.